So lately, it feels like everyone's talking about remote work, right? Thinking about it, trying it, swearing by it.
Yeah, and the headlines don't help. Is it the dream job or a recipe for disaster?
Well, you found this blog post, 64 pros and cons of remote work. So we're going to do a deep dive and try to figure that out.
And even that's interesting, right? I mean, this post is on a site called Tap and Earn. They're all about making money online, games even.
It's like the lines are already blurred before we even start. But Oak, let's dive in. This post starts with what it calls the pros of remote work. And I got to say, some of these sound amazing.
Oh, yeah. The first one is unbounded mobility. I mean, who doesn't want to work from a beach in Bali?
Right. Or like finally take that cross-country road trip and not even have to take time off.
And studies back it up. Having control over where you work can mean you're way more productive and happier in your job.
Makes sense. And this post says people save like 5 hours a week by not commuting. Five. Imagine what you could do with five extra hours every week.
That's huge. And that leads into the next pro they talk about. You can make your own schedule.
Yeah, like no more 9-to-5 grind. You can work when you work best. Early bird or night owl, it doesn't matter.
Right. And that's what everyone seems to want. Work-life balance. This blog post talks about spending more time with family, doing stuff you love, just feeling less stressed.
It all sounds pretty idyllic so far. But I have a feeling it can't be all sunshine and roses, right?
You're right. There are always two sides to every story, and the post gets into that too. And the post jumps right into one of the biggest downsides, loneliness. Like we think, oh, I'll get so much more done if I don't have coworkers around me, but...
But then you're alone all day.
Yeah, like we're social creatures, right?
Yeah.
Even just those little chats at the office can spark new ideas.
Oh, totally. I didn't realize how much I got from that until it was gone. It's like being in the same room just makes it easier to bounce ideas off each other.
Exactly. And the post talks about how video calls help, but they aren't the same as being there. And then that whole work-life balance thing gets tricky too.
Right, because if you're always worried about a work call interrupting family dinner, that's not exactly relaxing.
Totally. The post actually calls it being constantly on the clock when your home is your office. Suddenly you're answering emails at all hours, and that just leads to burnout.
So how do you stop that? Do you like build a whole separate office in your backyard?
I mean, that's one way. But really, it's about boundaries, having a dedicated workspace, even if it's just a corner of the living room, and setting work hours.
The no checking emails after dinner. That's easier said than done.
It takes discipline. And you have to set those expectations with your boss, too. If they expect you to be available 24/7, forget it. But even with all that, staying motivated can be tough, too.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to get distracted at home. The post even called out procrastination. Which makes sense.
Right. Like in an office, even if it feels boring, sometimes you're kind of stuck there working. At home, it's like, hello, Netflix.
So how do you fight that urge?
Well, they had a few good tips. Time management stuff, like the Pomodoro technique. Work for a bit. Take a break.
Oh, I've heard of that. It's like tricking yourself into thinking you're not working.
Exactly. And having an accountability partner helps too. Someone to check in with and keep you on track.
Like a virtual coworker without the awkward small talk. But this all depends on one thing that not everyone has, good internet.
Tell me about it. The post mentions that too, and it's so true. Reliable internet is essential for this whole thing to even work. And the right tech too.
Right. Forgetting to charge your laptop at the office is one thing, but at home, if your laptop dies, you're done.
Totally. And that's why companies need to provide the right support and equipment for remote workers.
It's a two-way street for sure. But before we get too down on the downsides, this post did talk about companies who are rocking the remote world. They mentioned Automattic, the WordPress people, and GitLab.
And what's cool about those companies, and this other one they mentioned, Buffer, is that they were designed for remote work from the start. It wasn't an afterthought.
So it's not just working for them, it's working really well.
Exactly. And if we look at how they do it, we can learn a lot about what makes remote work successful.
So they're doing something right.
Yeah.
And it's more than just having good Wi-Fi, right? It's like they built their whole company culture around this.
Yeah, they're all about something called asynchronous communication, meaning everyone doesn't have to be online at the exact same time.
Which makes sense for different time zones, but also just takes the pressure off a little.
Totally. And they really focus on building trust within their teams. You can't micromanage people remotely, right?
You got to trust your team to get the work done wherever they are.
Exactly. So I think it's safe to say that remote work is about more than just laptops and Zoom calls. It's a whole different way of thinking about work.
It's about clear expectations, healthy boundaries, and focusing on what you get done, not just how many hours you're at your desk.
And honestly, it's about figuring out if it works for you. It's not perfect for everyone.
Absolutely. That's the key takeaway, I think. Remote work has its pros and cons like anything else. Hopefully this deep dive gave you some things to think about. Maybe you're ready to give it a try, or maybe you're realizing it's just not for you. Either way, the important thing is to make the best choice for you and your career goals. And hey, if you do end up working from that beach in Bali, send us a postcard.